Budweiser's weekday sports beat continues on 96.1 FM WSBT with the NDInsider.com recruiting update. Here's Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and the South Bend Tribune's Fighting Irish football recruiting insider, Tyler James.
It is that time of the week where we talk Fighting Irish football recruiting with Tyler James. He is the Fighting Irish football recruiting insider for the South Bend Tribune. He joins us every Thursday at 5:30.
We should have played Barry Manilow for Tyler James. He's a big Barry Manilow fan, I hear.
Really?
Looks like we made it.
Oh, Mandy.
See, I mentioned this the other day when I rode with Eric and Mike to Chicago for the Notre Dame-Wisconsin announcement. I rode with you guys twice so far this year. Tyler was in the car the first time we went to Culver. I'm very disappointed. I've heard all of these Mike Burrell rumors. He's jamming to Taylor Swift, and I have not heard a Taylor Swift song yet in your car.
Because I'm the driver. I'm the dad in the car. And we're listening to my music. But in my chat today, I got asked about Barry Manilow, and I also got asked for relationship advice.
I know where
relationship advice go.
This guy wanted to get out of going to his fiance's great-grandma's wake because it was the same night as his fantasy draft, football draft, and he wondered if there was any way he could get out of that. And I said, yeah, if you want to be single again.
Yeah, that was good advice.
Okay.
That's not good thinking on his part.
Right.
I know fantasy football is very important, but not a good idea. Not a good idea. Well, let's see if we get any type of advice from Tyler here as we talk Fighting Irish football recruiting. Kevin Austin, we talked about him last week, Tyler. Wide receiver recruit that was considering Notre Dame. You felt like he was going to pick Notre Dame. He sure did. So I don't know if you want to add anything on Austin. And then I guess the second part of the question is, what's next at wide receiver? Is there a need for that speed guy that they lost to Oregon a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I do think you're right there. Kevin Austin, 6'3", 185 pound. Wow, I really messed that up. Wide receiver.
Oh, that Barry Manilow talk got you all nervous.
Sure did. And so Kevin's a talented player. I think can do a number of different things at the wide receiver position, and they're pairing him with Micah Jones, who's a big receiver at 6'5". So I think, like you mentioned, the need at left now is some sort of speed there. Kevin Austin has good but not great speed. I don't know how much you're going to stretch the field with him. I don't know that he's going to be that true kind of deep threat. I think he'll be able to make some plays, but I think, and we've seen that Notre Dame has tried to address the speed issue with bringing in those grad transfers, Cam Smith, who Brian Kelly has been praising throughout preseason camp, and Freddie Canteen. So I think that's kind of the hole they need to fill. I think maybe Michael Young in the previous class could be helping in making that not as big of a need in this class, but I do think that that's probably where Notre Dame's going to turn for a third receiver moving forward in the 2018 class. Jordan Porter out of Rancho Cucamonga, California, is a recruit that they had started to pursue. It ran a 10.68 in the 100-meter dash in track season this past spring, so that's a name to keep an eye on. He hasn't visited yet, but I do expect him to eventually visit. Lawrence Keys, 5'11", 160 pounds, out of New Orleans, is another speedy receiver. Doesn't have as good a size as Jordan. Jordan's 6'2", but definitely has some playmaking ability and has been a name Notre Dame's been keeping an eye on for a while now. And I think he even knows Michael Young, so maybe there's a chance that Notre Dame gets something rolling there if they get him on campus. So I think those are probably the two most important names probably to keep an eye on in terms of the wide receivers. There's some other bigger names. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Cameron Babb, Chase Cota, Tommy Bush, that have mentioned Notre Dame, have shown interest in Notre Dame, but I think that maybe they're probably long shots at this point. But so I think Jordan and Lawrence probably what you will be focusing on, although we'll keep track of who they get on campus in the fall, because certainly a good season from Notre Dame, especially from an offensive standpoint, could really elevate Notre Dame in the eyes of some wide receivers.
Tyler, what I can't figure out, let's say Notre Dame signs four wide receivers in this class, even three. Okay, you're only losing for sure Cameron Smith. Let's say you lose Cameron Smith and Equanimee St. Brown goes pro early. That would give you 13 or 14 receivers next year. I'm confused by the math, but maybe you can explain it.
Yeah, I think they just they're in a situation where they like to, I mean, they've always brought in multiple receivers. They haven't really. Last year was a rarity with only bringing in two wide receivers. So, I think it's a position we've seen some attrition at. We got guys like Corey Holmes have left the program. Jalen Guyton is another guy in recent years that left at the wide receiver position. So I think you just sort of anticipate that at wide receiver. Maybe that's the thinking moving forward. So. I just feel like wide receiver is a guy, and obviously there's always a chance of a wide receiver switching positions, maybe moving to defensive back. I know you had asked Brian Kelly if maybe there's a chance of anyone on the current roster doing something like that, and he's kind of poo-pooed that, but I think moving forward, I think at least having wide receivers on the roster gives you some flexibility. Maybe you'd rather load up on skill positions like that than maybe some other positions that maybe can't do other things besides the position they're brought in for.
IndyInsider.com recruiting update with Tyler James, the Fighting Irish football recruiting insider for the South Bend Tribune. A chance to talk to assistant coaches yesterday. You spent some time with recruiting coordinator Mike Elston. What were your big takeaways?
Yeah, I was able to squeeze in some recruiting questions, even though Eric tried to steal my shine by asking him a recruiting question. But the first thing I asked him, and Eric had asked him as well, was kind of what he'd been hearing from recruits in terms of do kids really want to wait and see what Notre Dame's defense is going to be about before committing. And obviously Notre Dame has kind of gone against that by getting Jack Lamb and Shane Simon in the class late in July, when I thought maybe Notre Dame would have problems getting guys that wanted to decide before their season to get to the class, because maybe they did want to wait and see because there wasn't necessarily a rush. But he was kind of straightforward with that. He said you got to know that kids want to know that information, that they are going to be skeptical about stuff like that, and even if they're not going to come out and straightforward ask you that, be ready to address that and explain where the defense is heading and what they can trust Notre Dame to become. So that's certainly, I think Notre Dame has been able to do that successfully. I think if you're looking at offense and defense, I think the defensive side of the recruiting class might be at a better point right now than the offensive side, which I think would, if you just came into this without really knowing what was going on, you'd be a little surprised about that, considering how last season went and the struggles they've had on defense.
Tyler James is our guest. What about, how will Notre Dame incorporate stadium renovations into recruiting visits in the future?
Yeah, I really thought a little bit about that when I was got the stadium tour last week, and I'm kind of wondering how they would incorporate that. It was interesting. Mike Elston called it a showstopper, and it's not necessarily a huge part of the recruitment for a kid, because they're not in the football stadium on a day-to-day basis. The Goog is more important in many ways than the stadium itself. But Mike Elston shows that, in his mind, it shows that Notre Dame does it when they choose to do something, that they do it first class. That was the quote he gave me yesterday. I think when they bring kids on tours, I think it'll be a little bit more of a focal point. They'll have more places to show them in the stadium, specifically like the ballrooms and the club seating areas. I think those are cool places that they'll probably host some lunches and brunches in the stadium. I know they've done stuff in like the press box of the stadium in previous years, but I think the areas that they maybe have at their disposal now could be pretty attractive places to host recruits and get them to settle in and get a feel for what the stadium's like and kind of the atmosphere at Notre Dame, not necessarily on a game day, but also just getting a feel for what the program's like.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Tyler. I mean, there's a lot to show off now. I mean, in last year, it just was, you know, with all the barricades and the dirt and, you know, the unfinished stuff, I wouldn't have been impressed if I were a recruit. It was really hard to envision what it was going to look like finished. I wanted to ask you about the early signing period and how it might impact Notre Dame in this recruiting cycle.
Yeah, I also asked Mike Elston about that, and I think He didn't get into too many details about whether or not they're going to be pushing for guys to early to sign early. I think they're more or less going to try and play that off of what the recruit wants to do. And one thing that will certainly impact, if they get a sense or hear from kids that want to make these decisions early, that they need to make sure that they get them on campus before early December. I know we've seen kids making official visits in January and trying to make their decisions after that. But if these guys are really interested in signing early and maybe have close feelings to some other schools, that Notre Dame needs to make sure that they get them on campus for official visits during the season for games. And Mike Elston even mentioned maybe even moving up a visitor's weekend earlier in December. Traditionally, there's a big weekend around the awards banquet, but I think maybe even the weekend before that, maybe they try and bring in some kids if that is the case, where they find some guys that are ready to make they want to try and sign in December because they can, but Notre Dame hasn't had a chance to host them. So that would be an interesting wrinkle to see how that plays out. I don't expect it to impact Notre Dame too much in terms of guys signing early, but I think that Notre Dame is at least being smart and kind of being proactive and figuring out how to work around stuff like that.
Indianapolis cornerback DJ Johnson's going to announce his college choice on Tuesday. Notre Dame is in the running. Do you like their chances?
I don't currently. I think that Notre Dame might lose out to Iowa in his recruitment. Iowa has done a really good job in recruiting in Indiana, recruiting some other players out of the Indianapolis area. Obviously recruited an area tight end here from Penn High School, Anthony Torres. So I think it's kind of tough for Notre Dame. Obviously, cornerback is a position we talk about regularly in this recruiting class because they don't have any commitments, and they also didn't get any in the last class. So it's definitely a big loss in terms of perception because Notre Dame needs cornerbacks, and he's an in-state kid. I'm less certain of how big of a loss it is from a talent standpoint. I think if he wasn't from Indiana, many people might not make too much of a big deal about it because I think he is a regional level recruit. He's got mostly Big Ten offers, so he's not quite a national recruit, but it's all going to matter of what Notre Dame does beyond DJ Johnson and his decision. If they can't get cornerbacks that are more talented than him or that they like more than him, then they're in a tough spot then. So it's not the best situation for Notre Dame to be in, and it seems to be continuing that way, but I think the one cornerback I do feel confident in for them is Dante Burton out of Georgia, who has visited previously. So Notre Dame needs to get the ball rolling there. I spoke to Todd Light a little bit about cornerback recruiting, and he thinks that it is a selling point that they're going to try and use, the fact that they didn't get any recruits in the last class, that there is maybe some early playing time opportunities, but they certainly haven't been able to strike on that so far.
Tyler, you know, at first when this kind of was happening, I didn't want to overreact to it, but I'll tell you what, it's getting more awkward and strange as it goes along. I mean, can you put your finger on it? Is it because those five corners already on campus are so good? Is it something that Todd Light's not doing? Because when you look at this defense, the one area that doesn't really need to prove itself are the cornerbacks.
Right. Yeah, and I did ask him about that. I said, do you think it was tougher to recruit last year because of there were so many freshman cornerbacks playing? And he did admit to that, and I think I agree with him there, but I don't know that at least these guys that are moving forward as sophomores, that those guys should be guys that are deterrents to these kids in the 2018 class. Obviously, I think maybe telling them that they could play right away isn't necessarily probably going to be true, because if these kids are coming back as juniors, they're probably certainly going to be playing ahead of kids as freshmen. But I don't really know what's going on there. I think it is a bit troubling. I think Todd Light knows that, and I think he wants to improve on that. So we're going to have to see what happens. I obviously they've shown the ability to get commitments in the class, but they haven't been able to hold on to them. Kalen Gervin being the latest one from Detroit, and we recently saw someone had named him the best recruit from Michigan in the state of Michigan for the 2018 class. So I think that's tough for Notre Dame to keep seeing cornerbacks maybe going elsewhere. So they're going to have to figure things out. I think I don't know what they have to do. I don't know if Mike Elko needs to maybe help out more there. We know that he has helped out quite a bit in terms of being a defensive coordinator and recruiting. And Mike Elston spoke very highly of what he's done as a recruiter so far at Notre Dame. So it's certainly the most intriguing and most befuddling part of Notre Dame's recruiting class right now.
Tyler, as a media member on Sunday at the open scrimmage, anything in particular you're going to be watching for?
Not necessarily. I'm interested to see what it's like. I know we've had some discussions in the office of how many people are actually going to show up and be there. We're kind of curious about that. But in terms of the team, I just want to hopefully see some live action, some good one-on-one situations, and get some full contact stuff. I know we've seen two practices in full, but we only got one practice in full pad, so that we got to see the full practice of. So just some football is what I'd like to see.
I'm with you there. Tyler James, what do you have coming up in the South Bend Tribune or IndyInsider.com or both?
Yeah, I'm working on a story right now about Nick Coleman. Spoke to him recently and then spoke to the coaches just yesterday, of course. And so we'll have a story on him. And then hopefully maybe next week you'll be working on a recruiting reset series just to kind of reset where Notre Dame's at every position in the class with not a lot of news scheduled until the kids start getting on campus for official visits.
I was there when Tyler was interviewing Nick. It's going to be a very good piece. There are some really good questions and answers in that particular session. He is Tyler James, and he is the Fighting Irish football recruiting insider for the South Bend. I'm not sucking up to him. I was being honest. You looked at me like I was sucking up to him or something.
I thought you were going to start singing a Barry Manilow tune yeah. to him. You were so infatuated.
No, it was a good. I actually have it on tape.
Okay.
So if you want to listen to it, then you'd be like, wow, Darren's right again.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I have full confidence in Tyler.
I know you do, but I just want to make sure you just gave me that look like, oh my gosh, you never say that about me.
Well, that's a little bit true.
I'm in between you two.
There you go. All right, Tyler, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Tyler James, Fighting Irish Football Recruiting Insider for the South Bend Tribune, joins us every Thursday at 5:30. When we come back, the wonderful and magnificent Eric Hansen will provide five stimulating answers to today's My Five question of the day, which is his five biggest stimulating takeaways from talking to defensive line coach Mike Elston. Please stick around for this excellence next. Is that a little better?
Awesome.
Thank you. On 96.1 FM, WSBT.